In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. If we read from the Old Testament, specifically the book of 2 Samuel, we will see how the prophet King David was tasked with transporting the most holy Ark of the Covenant. And we read that upon realizing and being in such awe of this power of God in the Ark, David proclaimed aloud, "How can the Ark of our Lord come to me?" He was in awe that this vessel which held such a divine presence would come to him. And when it did, David leaped for joy and danced in the presence of the Lord with all his might. And finally, the Ark stayed there for 3 months before it went to Jerusalem. The prophet King David here foreshadows for us the events that are to take place when a new covenant would come into the world. And in today's Orthodox Gospel reading from Luke, which you can find in your bulletin, we hear that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She then cried out to Mary, now knowing just who she was, the mother of the Lord, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how can it be that this be granted to me, that the mother of our Lord should come to me?" The same reaction from King David is seen here in saying, "How can the Ark of the Lord come to me?" King David and Elizabeth were both in awe of this divine presence that had come before them. And when the Ark of the Covenant had come to David, he responded with a shout of joy. So too did Elizabeth when the living Ark came to her. David leaped and danced in the presence of his Lord, just as Elizabeth's son, John the Forerunner, leaped in her womb at the presence of his Lord. In the Old Testament, Ark of the Covenant stayed 3 months before going to Jerusalem. So too did Mary stay with Elizabeth 3 months before going to her home. Mary, the Panagia, the Theotokos, is the true Ark, the living Ark. She is the bearer of the divine presence for us. This is why, like King David and Elizabeth, we approach the Mother of our Lord with joy and song, and we bring our prayers before her, because she is the one who brings God to us. So too will she bring our prayers to him. And today we have a unique celebration because this Sunday happens to fall on the very feast day of the Nativity of Mary, the Nativity of the Theotokos. And we hear from the hymn of the day, "Your nativity, O Theotokos, imparted joy to the entire earth. For out of you has risen the Son of Righteousness, Christ our God. He nullified the curse and instead gave us his blessing. And causing death to be neutralized, he granted us eternal life." It wasn't long ago that we celebrated the feast day of Mary's Dormition on August 15th, near the end of the ecclesiastical year. And today, having just started the new ecclesiastical year, we celebrate her birth. Our church's very calendar is centered around Mary, starting at her birth and ending at her Dormition. Yet we also see a unique gospel reading that we read during the liturgy, a very short one, but not one related to the Feast of the Theotokos. That's because today is also the Sunday which comes before the upcoming Feast of the Elevation of the Cross. And the church prescribes this beloved reading from the Gospel of John. And we're familiar with that central verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Many of us know this ever-beloved verse from the Gospel of John. Many of us are familiar with its popularity, with posters and signs of John 3:16 shown at all sorts of sporting events and public spectacles. We like this passage because of its purity, its simplicity, but also because we are reminded of a simple fact. I am desperately loved by God. The Christian message is very, very simple. God loves the world, and he loves us. Seeing his creation falling into death, he sent his own Son to liberate us from death, from sin, from fear, and to grant eternal life to all who believe in this simple gospel, this good news. We love this passage because it is the heart of the New Testament message, that we are the objects of the greatest romance in the history of the world. But why is this passage assigned to the Sunday before the Holy Cross? Well, we've talked about this before, but in the simplest of ways, everything starts with the cross. We receive a cross at our baptism. We do the sign of the cross before we eat, before we pray, before we travel, before we preach. But more profoundly, everything starts with the cross of Christ. Everything we need to know about the love of God, what kind of God our God is, what kind of lengths he is willing to take for us, what real love is shown in the cross and the crucifixion of our Lord. The cross is transformative. This instrument of death and destruction has become for us the ultimate symbol of love and victory. It has been said that everything we read in Scripture, everything we read from the Fathers, everything we say or sing in the liturgy can only be fully understood when looked at through the prism of the cross. So just as the cross is the ultimate sign of God's love, it is appropriate that this all-encompassing yet brief gospel passage from John is offered to us today as we anticipate the feast of the exaltation or elevation of the Holy Cross. So we continue to, in all things, start with the cross. Begin your day with the cross, your meals, your studies, your travels, your prayers, and even before you lay down your head to rest. Because each and every time you make the sign of the cross, let it be a reminder for you. You are loved. And if you believe in that love, that God himself loves you, that is the most shocking and important news the history of the world has ever known. May we continue to look at the cross and the love of God in all things, in every moment, in every day of our lives. To God be the glory now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen.